This is Alan Karpik with a man who needs no introduction, Coach Dave Shondell. A privilege for me, because he's one of my favorite people and certainly one of my favorite coaches, to spend a little bit of his 63rd birthday. And we both lamented we're over the 60 mark, and all birthdays are good, Coach. And welcome to the Arnie's Birthday Zoom.
Well, thank you very much. It's a nice time with the Boilermakers playing here this afternoon. It will be a nice birthday gift if Coach Painter can continue to stay on a roll like they have been over the last couple of games.
Yeah. What? Take me now back to your childhood of a volleyball family that you grew up in. Were there any special traditions growing up? And then I'll ask you what you and Angie are going to do today for anything special.
Well, I had a great family, you know. I grew up around Ball State University, which was a treat. And I think the biggest reason that why I'm where I am now is that I grew up around a bunch of teachers and coaches and was blessed in that situation. But all of our birthdays at home were with family, and sometimes it would be extended family depending on the timing. But my mom would always make whatever your favorite meal might be, and you know, you'd open your gifts, and it would always be a good day. For me, it would always be a cold day. I remember one time, I think when I was 8 years old, on my eighth birthday, I got some kind of a toy where you shot this gun and this little thing would spin, you know, around and so forth. And somehow one of them got up on the roof. And so I had to go up on the roof, which was not hard for me at that time. I climbed up on a fence and jumped up on the roof. And then when I was up on the roof, I thought it'd be a lot easier just to jump off than it would be to climb back down, you know, on that fence. So I jumped off and the ground was frozen, and I broke my foot. Of course, my neighbors, one was a teacher at Westview Elementary School where I went to school, and he started calling me Batman from that point in time. And so that kind of stuck for a while, but I did break my foot on my birthday 1 year.
8 years, that will not leave your memory bank ever, I think.
Yeah,
from that standpoint. Yeah. All right, so what was your favorite meal? Did you have a favorite meal growing up? I mean,
I think it's probably the same as it is right now. It'd be fried chicken. I always enjoyed my fried chicken and mashed potatoes and whatever else would come along with that. And that's what my wife Angie will be preparing later on today. So yeah, things haven't changed that much.
That's good. How about, you'll hear from the gang. I'm sure the kids will dial in at some point. Is this typically a phone conversation? Will any of them be able to be there in person?
Well, normally I think we would have a lot of people here, but under circumstances that we're in right now, we're playing it close to the vest. And so
we're
trying to stay healthy. I've got so much to look forward to that I want to kind of be around for a long time. So we're not taking visitors at this point in time here. And when I do go out, I've got a mask on and trying to make sure that I'm following protocol. But I've already had a handful of calls already today from family, and I'm sure the rest will be coming soon.
Yeah, that's probably the best part of these things when you get to our age. All right, now you've got your team is off today, which is good. It's your birthday, and you can watch some football, watch the Boilermaker men.
Yeah,
but we talk about this every year, and yet you guys are ranked 13th, which I know you're proud that you're recognized as one of the elite programs in the country. That's the good part. The bad part is the challenging part, I should say, is you open up against number one Wisconsin this weekend, and that's just the way it is in this league.
Yeah, but it's the greatest thing in the world, you know, to be in a league, which is absolutely the best volleyball, you know, college volleyball conference in the world. And, you know, this year it will be as strong as ever. And to open up against Wisconsin, who finished runner-up a year ago and has about everybody back off of that team and is coached by another guy from Muncie and Ball State, and Kelly Sheffield, and assistant coach Brittany Dildine, who played for us at Purdue, is always exciting. And right now, as everybody in college athletics, we're just happy to be playing. You know, we've been off. We haven't played a game for about 11. Actually 13 months since we've played. And so just the chance for our athletes to be able to compete and play and travel together and all those things that we've missed so much, you know, will be exciting. And, you know, you just don't know at this point in time, are you going to have your full roster? Are they going to have their full roster? You anticipate your opponent will always have their full roster, and you hope that you will. But You know, we have a really good team, and we have several players back from a year ago, and it's as good of a group as I've ever worked with. They're fun to walk into the gym with every day, and the culture is fantastic, and we have high expectations. And you know, you don't know what to expect, but you know, I certainly think that we are rewarding of that ranking, if not more. And but we'll find out in our league with the new schedule will be unique. We don't play everybody in our league this year. There's two teams that we don't play, and that's Maryland and Nebraska. But we play everybody else twice, so we'll certainly be tested.
And you go, and you're going to go weekends, and then the only split weekend will be with Indiana, or where you play home and home, right?
Right. We'll play at Wisconsin Friday and Saturday. We'll come back the next weekend, have Iowa on Friday and Saturday, and then fortunately get Minnesota here the following Friday and Saturday before we go to Michigan for a, you know, a Friday, Saturday. And as you mentioned, we'll play Indiana soon after that, and that will be at their place on a Tuesday. And I think at our place on a, I think that match has been moved to a Sunday. So
I think it is. That's right. Yeah.
Plenty of time in between, but a great schedule.
And what Dave is mentioning, Wisconsin ranked first, Nebraska fifth in the first poll, Minnesota seventh, Penn State ninth, Purdue 13th, and Michigan 24th are the ranked Big Ten teams. And I always ask you this, there's always dark horses, and there are always ones that you have to be extra careful. And all your years, you know, your 18th year of coaching, I you'll probably hesitate as a coach to say, well, this is one team that that isn't always ranked, but always makes me nervous. But there are some teams up there that can jump into the rankings, and they're all dangerous. I mean, that's what you have to be ready for.
You have to be ready for everybody in our league. And I think that's what I credit our coaching staff for really doing a pretty good job of. When you look at our schedule over the past, 17 seasons, we seldom get upset. We don't get beat by, we may be challenged. Iowa, for example, it seems like we've played way too many five set matches with Iowa, but we normally win. And the same with Northwestern and Michigan State and even Ohio State. And of course, Indiana, we've got a pretty fair record with Indiana at this point in time over the last 17 seasons. But, I'm trying to get to a point, Alan, where I don't stress out about every match, but I haven't accomplished that yet. I think this is going to be the year that, we're going to approach them with just a lot of enthusiasm and fun and stay positive and not worry about what the outcome might be. But I don't know many coaches in our league that can do that.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing. You know, Matt Painter talks about that, and you've said it already on this, that it's good to be playing. But you guys are so hyper-competitive. You've got hyper-competitive women elite athletes on your team. When the ball goes up, so to speak, it'll be serious business.
Yeah, and I think the closer we get to this first match, you can kind of see that in our players. Yeah. And as a coach, you feel that, and I'm open with my team. I told them the other day, I said, we're going to have a lot of fun this season. Yeah. We're going to look forward to every single match. And I'm going to promise you that I'm not going to stress out as much as I have in the past, but we'll see if that comes to fruition, but I think it will. I just feel like our program is in a really good place. Yeah. We have not accomplished what we came here to do and what our players have come here to do. We've had great years and we've had tremendous finishes. Last year was a year that I thought was a step in the right direction after going to the second round for about 6 years in a row and not getting past that second round of the NCAA tournament. Last year we got to the Sweet 16 before we ran into the number one ranked team, Baylor. But I think this team will be better. I think this will be one of the best teams we've ever had at Purdue.
Yeah, you look at that, and it is a gauntlet that you run on an annual basis. What, and with COVID, and you've been coaching a long time, and not just at Purdue, but and been around the program. What have you learned? What's your takeaway in terms of, I look back and reflect over the last few months, and this is something that's going to change me, or at least I'm now really really aware of this moving forward.
Well, everybody is different. But I think people that are optimistic and positive and productive always find the silver lining in what's going on. And as opposed to just, not do anything, I tried to find some ways to improve myself and improve myself as a coach. And some of the things that I have done, number one, I stopped drinking Diet Coke. I was drinking 6 to 10 Diet Cokes a day, which everybody told me I shouldn't be doing. And last March, I stopped doing that. So it's been a long time since I've had a Diet Coke, and I didn't know if I could do that. I've been exercising at a higher level than I did before. And because of that, I'm healthier than I was before. I listen to podcasts all the time while I exercise. If I'm walking or running, I listen to podcasts, and I think it's been really productive for me. I've learned an awful lot listening to people that know more than I do about different things. And I've taken that, I think, back to our program, and I feel like I'm helping other people by what I've learned during that amount of time. And so I feel like because of that, and I told our players, I said that the teams or the organizations that find a way to be productive during this time of COVID are going to be successful. And those that are going to, find all the things wrong with the world at this point in time are going to, not be in the same position. So we've tried to stay encouraged, and our team has done a great job. Young people are handling this a lot better than old people. I can promise you that. Not that they're not scared about things, but they certainly are doing a better job than, at least from what I can see on social media and on TV, the younger people are handling things far better than the older generations.
Yeah, I think that is one of the blessings is when you are working out these, being able to improve yourself. What any particular podcast that you like that, and I assume they're from all different types of subjects, but what do you?
Well, they are. A lot of them are coaching. A lot of them are psychology of sport. But I've also listened to a lot that are interviewing Olympic athletes.
Yeah.
And to hear the young people. Because when you're not young anymore, it's really advantageous to find out what young people are thinking and how they operate and what's making them special at this point in time. And then for me to be able to share that with our players, I think is important. And all the great coaches, I like to listen to great coaches talk about what motivates them and how they got there. And a lot of the podcasts I listen to are exactly that, people who have been outstanding and why they're there and what keeps them there are all pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. From that standpoint, when you look at your kids, your student athletes' resiliency, we've talked about this over the years, what has changed? What have you learned that you'd want to do a little differently? Because you have the credit to the way you run your program, but you have kids that are excellent students, extremely motivated. What can be a secret sauce, or what have you learned that said, hey, I need to tweak this about the way I coach? How has that evolved over time, do you think?
Well, I think that I've always been a relationship type of a coach.
Yeah.
But the larger that divide in age comes, the harder you have to, I don't say the harder you have to work, the more time you have to be willing to put into it. And so, in years past, our coaching staff would divide our team into about a thirds, and we would meet with each of those players every 2 weeks. And where this year I decided I'm going to meet with every player myself. I want my coaches also to break them up and meet with them as well, in a thirds or halves or whatever. But I'm going to meet with every one of them because I think it's that important that I know how they're handling this situation. How are they feeling? Because mental health has become so crucial. I think it's just because people have become more open about it, that now everybody is willing to share and express, what issues and what problems they have. But I think we've provided a means for people to express. And we've also, our nation, our society has given them problems. It's not their fault that all this is going on. And they're dealing with COVID, and they're dealing with what's happening in our country with social injustice and all those type of things. So it's something I think that is my number one job, is to help our players. I mean, certainly I know our fans and our administration feels like winning is a big part of that. And nobody puts more pressure on our program to win than I do. I can promise you that. But that's not why I'm here. That's not growing up in a world of education, that I understand my purpose is to help these people be prepared when they graduate to move on and be happy, be successful. If they want to raise a family, that's what they're going to be able to do. And whatever it might be, it's not the winning is important, but so is the losing, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I just assume never lose. But I also know that in the world that we live in, that's not going to be the case. We're going to have our problems. And so knowing how to respond to the event might be losing a match somewhere. The event might be a player getting hurt and being out for the season. Okay. How are you going to respond to that is what's going to really be important at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the beauty of the podcast, is I thought that would be my phone ringing, but in one of the best ones, I actually was able to interview David Bodaya for our Golden Black Live last week, and his Netflix, well, the Michael Phelps Weight of Gold, The Weight of Gold is excellent on that. And it does these young, and David's 31 years old, so he's not no longer a student athlete, but these kids that you have or kids that are student athletes have to, they have a lot going at them and a lot to deal with, but yet I do sense that there are not only resources at Purdue, but coaches pay more attention, that that's a huge part of success can be, you know, are they mentally healthy and can they adapt to what the world brings them?
Yeah. And you're right. I think Purdue, like most major institutions and athletic departments, have recognized the need to build people around our athletes that, are experts in that area. But as I've shared with all of my support staff, we all have to be aware of that. You know, it might be the equipment manager. It might be the custodian in our gym. It might be our academic advisor that sees that person at the right time and asks the right question. And that's what I talk to our staff when we have, you know, our big staff meeting. A lot of these people think that they're so small in the world of developing these athletes or part of what's going on in college athletics, and they're not. They're as small as they want to be, or they're as large as they want to be in helping these young people stay happy and be productive. So we take that role pretty seriously at Purdue, and I think that, you know, when Morgan Burke hired me 18 years ago, and you know, his office was a small office up in the academic area. It sent a pretty good message what was important at Purdue. Late Morgan Burke changed my life by hiring me at Purdue, and I'll be forever indebted to him. And it was a risky move for, you know, an athletic director in the Big Ten to hire a high school coach to come to Purdue. But that's another reason I'm driven, is I want to make sure that, people don't look at that as a mistake, that they look at that as that was a risky move, but he made a good move. And so I'll always work to keep people feeling like he made a good decision.
He did make a good decision. I can promise you that. And still one of the most difficult things to think is that Morgan's no longer here. I still can't imagine that. And yet in his legacy, it's interesting to, when you talk to people like yourself, and obviously you've got under very capable leadership now, but Morgan did a lot to help teams cultivate an environment that's not only successful on the court, but successful building student athletes into adults.
Well, you know, we were lucky to have Morgan. He certainly cared about our program, and we're lucky now to have Mike Babinski, who is not cut from the same mold as Morgan Burke. They're two totally different people, just like you and I are totally different. But, you know, we're lucky. I mean, Mike has gone through such a challenging time. Nobody wants to be an athletics director during this particular time, but he's kept the doors open at Purdue. I mean, and that's all. I mentioned him the other day. I said, just make sure the lights are still on. Okay. Yeah. So that, you know, we get through this thing, and at the other side of the year, whenever it happens, that we can get back and get rolling again. Cause I think people are going to be crazy about athletics. And it's the same thing about, you know, we have that little place over on Lake Freeman.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not sure Lake Freeman realizes that the COVID's going on right now from what I've seen over there, but it did shut down a lot. And so I just can't wait to get over there and when this thing is over and throw some big parties over Lake Freeman and invite as many people as I can, because I have not seen a lot of people in a long time. So I'm looking forward to that. And same thing with athletics. I know our fans are just, they can't wait to get out and support our programs, and they have, you know, through their wallets, they've helped us stay afloat. But there's no time more important for them right now than right now to help college athletics, whether it's Purdue or anywhere else, because we really need their help.
Yeah, you're on the southwest side of Lake Freeman. If you're boating around, you'll see the sign if you look at it. And I do look forward to the day that you can have some fun there. It's a great spot for you and your family and your kids that are around you. All right, a couple more questions because I don't want to overstay my welcome on your birthday. Right. But let's talk about give me some individuals as we really should be watching for, especially and ones that are going to make it. They're all going to make a difference on your volleyball team, but talk about some of your standouts and ones that need to really step to the fore for you to have the year you want.
Well, we should have a fairly veteran team. Right. We have two seniors and they'll both be very valuable. Caitlin Newton, who I thought was one of the best players in the league a year ago, especially the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Big outside hitter out of Terre Haute. And she's coming off of a meniscus tear, but she is getting back. She's probably about 80% right now. And that's frustrating for her because she knows we're playing Wisconsin in 5 days and she wants to be 100%. And she probably won't be quite 100% then, but she will be soon. And when she gets there, we'll be that much better. And Jenna Otek, who is a backcourt player that shared the libero position a year ago, looks like she's got a chance of playing that position quite a bit again this year. She looks fabulous. She's so much more mature and so much better of a leader and so positive right now. She's one of the most impressive things I've seen on our team this season. She's out of St. Louis. And again, both those guys can come back another year. Just so I'm sure you probably have talked about that at some point in time, but this year does not count in the world of eligibility. And next year you can have more than your 12 scholarship kids on your roster, but after that you can't have more than 12.
It's gonna be a challenge,
but everybody still gets a year of eligibility, so you have to manage that and how you recruit. But certainly Newton from Terre Haute and Otek out of St. Louis are doing a great job of leading us. Haley Bush, who has set for us the past 2 years, will go into her third year as a redshirt junior, and I really believe is one of the top five setters in the country. She's not as big as some of the setters that we've had in the past, but she is quick as a cat. She competes like a bulldog. Players love her, and she's a fearless leader. So I think those are the three came in the same time. We redshirted Bush, but that group is doing a tremendous job. And then you get to that junior class that you have Grace Cleveland, who is going to be one of the best players we've ever had. Grace is a 6'3" outside hitter. She plays on the left. This year she's probably going to play on the right. Could play in the middle for us as well. She's out of Normal, Illinois, and just as good of a kid as you can possibly find. And we look forward to her continued development. And then Marissa Horning, who played some libero for us last year, is a great leader, has all the intangibles, tremendous kid. Her sister is going to be here next fall and is a lot like her. She was just a first team high school All-American, one of the top 14 players in the country. And so it'll be fun to have her. Another junior is JL Johnson, and JL is out of Brownsburg. And JL shared a lot of time with Shivana Catino last year. But JL is just playing great. And so that's kind of our seniors and juniors that are going to lead the way for us this year. We have a great sophomore class and a good freshman class, good talent, but quality, high character people.
Yeah, as you always do. Raven Colvin, I love talking recruiting with you usually when we have an adult beverage, which I can't wait to get back to doing occasionally. But Raven Colvin, obviously that's exciting to have a Purdue athletic legacy and a great family. And she obviously also committed, will be coming in with Allie Horning next year. Tell us just a little bit about her. And obviously it's pretty interesting and great to have Roosevelt's daughter on your team.
Well, a lot of people remember Roosevelt. It wasn't that long ago that he was playing defensive end for the Boilermakers and then with the Bears and obviously with the Patriots, where he won a couple of Super Bowls. But I hate to put pressure on her, but I think she's a better athlete than her dad. I mean, relatively speaking, she is. Yeah. She's about 6 foot, half inch. Maybe we'll probably list her at 6'1", but she literally flies. Her club coach sent me her last jump test and she was touching 10 feet, 6 inches. Yeah. And that's 6 inches above the basketball rim that she's touching. And she's fast and a great competitor. But she has all the intangibles that you could ask for. I mean, she's confident. She's a beautiful kid. Our fans are going to love her. She's going to make us more competitive. She hates to lose.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she gets that from probably her pop. But she is really, I mean, she's a very pleasant kid off the floor. But when she gets on the floor, the world changes. And she and Horning are two phenomenal players. You know, Horning's getting a lot of the accolades because mostly her high school team has been so successful. Yeah. Well, Raven's team has been pretty successful. They won the state championship her junior year, but they went to the Final Four a year ago, and somehow she hasn't received near the accolades, and I don't know why. It's just one of those things, you know. It's hard to give All-American honors to too many kids from one state, but they're both very, very special, and I've got a lot to think about right now, but part of it is I'm looking forward to adding those two to our roster next year. When nobody has to really leave. I mean, we don't know for sure what Caitlin and Jenna are going to do yet. We haven't worked all the details out. This isn't the right time to go to your athletic director necessarily and say, do you have two more scholarships available for me next year? I'm going to wait till, you know, things simmer down a little bit, but we got to find a way to keep those two seniors here because they're valuable commodities. And, you know, we'll cross that bridge when the time comes, but we're looking forward to a pretty good run of volleyball. I don't see us, you know, our success ending anytime soon.
And I promise, last question. How are you dealing with recruiting? How are you evaluating kids now? And I mean, like everybody else, I mean, you're obviously not able to get them on campus, but tell us briefly about that as well.
Fortunately, we are done through the current junior class.
Yeah.
And we have two commitments in the junior class.
Right.
We plan on keeping a current junior, at least one. And so we think that we're totally done then with 2022. So the current sophomores are the class we're looking at. We don't know for sure how many we're going to need because we're not sure how many of our current sophomores we're going to keep or want to stay. You know what I'm saying? We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
But we'll probably need two or three in that class. We can't go out and recruit. I mean, we can't recruit till April 15th. And that may be extended based on the results of COVID across the country now. But currently that's the date that we're allowed to begin recruiting again. That means you can go out. That means you can have players apparently on campus. But so what we're doing primarily now is just contacting the club coaches, high school coaches of those players that we have interest in. The NCAA compliance has made it really challenging to what you can write and what you can say to these club coaches now. I mean, even you may love a particular player, but you can't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, how silly is that? If you're the club coach and I'm writing you, but I've got to be generic in what I put in my email. It's really hard to operate that way. So I'm trying not to even think about it too much. We're trying to do what we can. But if April 15th gets here and we're allowed to go, that's right in the middle of club season for volleyball players. So and it's also going to be right in the middle of the NCAA tournament for us too. So it'll be hard to say how things will change when we're allowed to get back out there. But fortunately, you know, most schools like ourselves are far enough along that, you know, we'll manage it. And kids until their July of their junior year, they can't visit anyway.
Yeah.
And that rule came in just about a year ago to slow the process down, which is a good rule. I like that rule. Kids were committing way too early. And now I think it's slowed them down to where they're not making those decisions until their junior year.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Always, always insightful in the world of, you'd have made a hell of an athletic director, I think, because you get the big picture, but that'll be for your dad. That'll be when you're in your 70s. You can do that. You come back.
I don't feel like I'm that old. My mind doesn't feel that old. My body does now and then. Mind feels pretty good, but it's always something I would have enjoyed doing, but I think I've got a better job.
Yeah, you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot. Well, I hope you get to how many grandkids?
We have nine. And
oh my mercy.
You know, Angie just asked, you want me to call and have some of those grandkids come over? I said, that would be confusing. We've told them we're not doing that. Now, because of somebody's birthday, we're going to do it. So I think that, again, we'll just continue to be smart and
Zoom is your friend.
Try to stay healthy. And Zoom would be a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great birthday. Enjoy the fried chicken and mashed potatoes and best of luck. We'll be watching closely this weekend and throughout the season. It's going to be different. We know that. And
one good thing is we have at least 10 games on national TV.
Right.
We're going to have 10. And that's a lot of game. We never had 10 on the Big Ten Network. But because our volleyball coaches told the Big Ten Network, we'll be more than happy to move our times earlier in the day, because most of our kids are taking classes online. Fans aren't going to be a big issue with trying to, you know, host the matches at 7 o'clock so fans can get there. So we'll play some at 4 o'clock. We'll play some at 6 o'clock. But we've got 10 matches, including the first two at Wisconsin on the Big Ten Network. So I think our fans, if they can't see us on the Big Ten Network, it's a pretty good deal to get them streamed. I think it's about $60 to get every match in the Big Ten on volleyball streamed if you're a big volleyball fan.
And you've got lots of them. And it is going to be different. I keep saying I'm going to end my questioning, but this fan environment is such a big part of this. I mean, your environment at home is unreal, and there are others in the league. That's going to take a little bit of getting used to, I think, in terms of that.
The good thing is that when you go on the road, and Matt found that out, we went to Michigan State, and then he went to, you know, down to Assembly Hall. I'm not sure they win those, you know, if there's 16,000 people in both those places. So I think the opportunities to win on the road become a little bit better, but it becomes a little bit tougher at home because, you know, like in our place, you know, we went, I think, 16-2 last year at home.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be harder to do when you don't have a packed house. And in our place, packed house might be 2,500, which isn't the same as what Nebraska is going to get, but it feels like it.
Yeah,
Great
environment.
But I've already talked to our players about the value that they have when the 11 players that are not in the match, how much noise are they going to make? How much enthusiasm are they going to bring? Because I've seen that done in college basketball.
Yes.
That becomes the cheer block right now is those players that are not currently in the game. And so we're going to have to make some noise with those people.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for your time. Again, happy birthday. And we'll look forward to watching Friday night when the Boilermakers travel up to Madison as well. So, and you'll get lots of calls from those adoring grandchildren, I'm sure, today. And that'll be a good thing as well. Have a great day, David. Thanks so much. And good luck this season.
Okay, Alan. Boiler up.